This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
And here's Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. Fakes once, fakes twice, gives to Belly. 35-foot three for the win. Nemanja Bjelica.
We deserve this win, man.
When we're done, we go chop it up, eat, right. Golf, whatever you want to do. Before these 48 minutes, I ain't about them games.
Welcome back to another episode of the Kings Pulse Podcast. My name is Brendan Nunes. Got Rich Ivanowski on here, as we always do. What's going on, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm doing exactly as good or bad as I was doing last time. I'm doing the same because we are recording this one 5 minutes later.
Yeah, we got part two of our top 15 big board we're working on here. I don't know how much there is to get into it. Do we maybe want to run through what we have that we covered in the last one a little bit here? I went through 8 of my top 15. You went through 7, exactly in the middle there between the two. It's why we cut it off where we did. Do you want to kind of run through your tiers in the 7 that you've listed off?
Yeah, mine has some hot takes, so make sure to refer to last episode for my rationalizations. But my top 7, as I've done so far, are Anthony Edwards, Devin Vassell, LaMelo Ball, Obi Toppin, Killian Hayes, Onyeka Okongwu, Tyrese Haliburton. So that's 1 through 7 on my big board.
All right, yeah, and my 1 through 8, I have 1, LaMelo Ball, 2, Anthony Edwards, 3, Killian Hayes, 4, Devin Vassell, 5, Onyeka Okongwu, 6, Isaac Okoro, 7, Tyrese Haliburton, and 8, Denny Avdija. Unless you have anything else, I think we can just hop right into your number 8 here.
Yeah, let's do it. And in terms of tiers, real quick, was that an end of your tier? No, you must have one more at least.
It's not. I have 2 more in this tier.
Okay.
In that tier. So, yeah, my top 3, LaMelo, Edwards, and Hayes, is 1 tier. And then tier 2 here, I have 2 more people in it.
You're still in the midst of tier 2. Okay, I've got a little bit tighter tiers. I have Edwards number 1 and in a tier by himself. And I'll just say, like, I could loosen these tiers. I'm just trying to be – yeah, I'm trying to tighten them up because I did have, like, an 8-player tier. So, yeah, Edwards 1. Then I had Vassell and Ball as my 2nd tier. Then I'm about to finish my 3rd tier, which – so just going back a minute. Toppin, Hayes, Okongwu, Haliburton, and this final player in the tier, number 8. Another spicy take, so – I mean, my spices aren't going to ever stop, apparently, on my big board. I have Cole Anthony here at number 8.
Wow. These are all floor guys. And then you drop Cole Anthony.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So, as I mentioned in the first one, I have everyone's floor and ceiling. Yeah, no. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, that. It's – I have – none of my tiers are, like – alone one or the other, really, except for the one with 1 guy in it. But yeah, this is one where his ceiling, Cole Anthony's ceiling, I think is high enough to meet the floors or like to compensate for the floor guys of Toppin, Hayes, Okongwu, and Haliburton. Definitely the lowest floor of this bunch. I would also say yeah definitely the highest ceiling as well. You know, I was actually very low on Cole Anthony when we first did our review of him. But over time, I've really listened to the people that disagreed with me, including yourself. You really argued that he could be a high level shot creator for himself, even if not necessarily great for others. And I think there's value in that. I think like my whole thing with him is that I think he can be the engine of a team. I think he can be the number one player on a team. Just the problem is that team is probably going to be pretty bad. I think like I still believe he's going to lead the Knicks to like five consecutive more losing seasons. I just think that first of all, I think he's a good athlete, has decent size for his position of point guard. I think he's got a fantastic ability to create his own shot. And the shooting is pretty good, you know. I mean, even off ball, catching and shooting, I think is pretty good. I don't think he's a good passer, which is problematic for a point guard. He's also like a strangely good defender. I like this player type generally isn't guys in his kind of mold generally aren't good defenders. I think he's a very legit defender if he applies himself, and he has applied himself a lot. He's a strangely really good rim protector for 6'3". Obviously, it's not going to apply that much in the NBA, but he reads plays really well as a help defender. So, yeah, I'm just high on him. I think like his ceiling is really legit. Obviously, the floor is a guy that is high, super, super high usage and low efficiency and doesn't set up his teammates well. So, obviously, a very low floor there as well, but I'm just buying the upside.
Yeah, this is the first one that I'm a good little bit lower than you. And, yeah, I mean, I see the upside. And it's funny because, like you pointed out, I was higher on Anthony when we first did the profiles, and it's flip-flopped here. I guess starting a little bit with the defense, which obviously isn't the main thing. I do think that he does give good effort on the defensive end. I like a little bit of what's going on there on the ball. But yeah, I mean, the value of being able to create space for yourself and knock down some of those shots is definitely a premium in the NBA. I just don't know. Like, I don't know. I guess I just don't buy it is what it is, because I agree with you that the ceiling is there, but I think similarly to Okoro, like I just kind of buy Okoro. I just don't with Anthony, and maybe that's just me putting too much into just how I really feel about the guys. From watching them. But yeah, I mean, to me, like, I think Cole Anthony's gonna be like a Terry Rozier, which has okay value to it. But like, I just don't see him as more than a backup point guard, because I don't know. I don't see him doing that much off the ball. Like there's okay catch and shooting there, but yeah, I mean, to me, this is just like a high usage guy, and it's interesting because like, you could say a lot of the same things about Anthony Edwards, who we have like 1 and 2, but the athleticism difference, the size difference, it's just very real there. And yeah, I mean, I think that I agree with you that the ceiling's there. I just don't think that he gets to it. Like, and I think the floor of him is like a Trey Burke, like you kind of mentioned. Like, I just don't, I don't know. A lot of it comes down to me just not buying it. Like, I see everything that you said. There's a nice first step. You pointed out often, you know, this draft going into the year, Cole Anthony was up there, like very much up there. He was a top three, top five guy coming out of high school. And there is concerns. It was a really crappy North Carolina team. So I get it. I just don't buy Cole Anthony.
So it's kind of a gut thing for you.
It is. And I don't know how I feel about that. Like, yeah, that is kind of what it comes down to. And it's the same thing that it comes down to with Okoro.
Yeah, I think that ultimately the most important thing in the NBA is scoring points. I know that's like a very, very, very reductive way to look at things. And maybe in every other facet, Okoro could be better. But the ability for Cole Anthony to create a shot and hit a shot, he is so much better at that than Okoro. Like, that's their biggest, I mean, I wouldn't say their biggest difference, because Okoro is a lot larger, a lot stronger, and a lot better of a defender. But Cole's, I think he's a legit, I think he can be a legit defender. So, like, the biggest gap in their games, I think, is that super basic, like, this, the most basic concept of what you look for in NBA players is, like, hey, can this guy generate shots and knock them down? I normally don't try to harp on those types of players. It's not my type of player. It's generally, I mean, that's why in the initial profile, I was not into it. That's not my type of player at all. But in the NBA draft, I think it's valuable. I think he's probably, I don't know, like, yeah, outside of Edwards, I don't know that anyone, and maybe Hayes, depending on how shifty he's going to be against NBA level athletes, I think he's like right there. I think he's got a more complete shot making package than like Halliburton.
I just don't think he's the rim. I mean, and maybe that's the Carolina thing where they just had terrible spacing. But
you don't think he can get to the rim?
No, I think he can, but he doesn't finish very well.
He doesn't finish very well, but that is, I mean, you're talking about like statistically,
right?
Which I mean, that is a Carolina thing. Like that is like no one else was on that team. He was doubled constantly.
Yeah, some of the still spacing, shots of that spacing was so bad.
The spacing was a joke. If he's surrounded by an NBA offense with like three good shooters in it, I think that he'll be totally fine there.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me. I see where you're coming from here, and maybe it's wrong, but it is kind of a field thing for me with Cole where it's such a wide range, and I just tend to lean on the lower side with him here. I actually don't even have him in this tier two.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. Some people that I really trust still have him very high, you know, about like sixth on their board. So yeah, I put this out there to some people like, am I crazy for still being relatively high on Cole? And I'm not crazy high on him because remember there was a point where like he was absolutely a lock for top three, or at least we all thought that. So for him to fall to eighth, I think is a reasonable fall, but I'm not gonna knock him out of this tier. I think that he, one thing you mentioned, you just see him as a backup point guard. That's the one thing that I would bank on. I think he's going to start somewhere. I would bet a lot of money on that. I don't think he's going to be great at it, but I think like he's the type of player who is going to be, I mean, a starting point guard. Terry Rozier is a starting point guard. He's got paid, you know, whatever, $17 million a year to be a starting. Well, I guess he's more of a two guard, I guess. It depends on how you look at that with Devontae Graham. Yeah. But
and to
he's going
to
be
like
a starter.
Yes, he probably is going to be, but, like, should he be? And to be fair, like, I even thought of, like, Trey Burke. Like, Trey Burke actually found a spot where he was really needed in Philadelphia. Like, shot creation from guards is needed. So I see where you're coming from here. Like, I don't think we're that far off, even though there is a decent number difference. I agree with most of your points here. I just don't think I buy it quite as much as you do.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue against a gut feeling.
Yeah, one of us is going to get a big I told you so with Okoro or Anthony here. Maybe we're both wrong and they both suck, but.
That's interesting. I would love to track that going forward.
Definitely.
Know. Yeah.
So, yeah, I got my nine here, yeah?
Yeah, it's an end of a tier for me, so let's go back to you.
Okay.
Still in that tier.
I am. I have two more, and number nine here is a guy you had a lot higher than me, is Obi Toppin. For most of the reasons you pointed out, he's going to come into the league and be a pretty impactful offensive player, a well-rounded package where, you know, he can step out and hit the three. He can be a pick-and-pop guy and then be an absolutely elite pick-and-roll player, finish above the rim. He's got both vertical and horizontal spacing to him. Again, a lot of my issue with Toppin comes down to what is he going to look like in a playoff series. You had a good point on the last episode that a good coach will be able to scheme and hide him. And, you know, that is a really good point. I think that there's a chance that happens. I just am so terrified of Toppin defensively. Having him a little lower here is, again, probably me just having a preference on defense and placing a high value in that. So yeah, but again, I have a fairly large tier here that I'll probably end up trying to break down a little more. And I'm doing a little bit in my head as we kind of talk through this. But yeah, I have top end sitting here at 9, but again, it's not all too big of a gap from some of these guys I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. My full thoughts on top end are in the first one. We could just jump to your final guy in this tier. Then I think I'd have to go twice as well, but maybe in terms of tiers and considering that I discussed top end, I'll just say for anyone, I mean, definitely go back and listen, but I will say that I think that people are undervaluing how much of a lock Obi Toppin is to be a positive offensive player. I think that's just so rare in this draft, but yeah.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. And then the last guy I have in this tier is James Wiseman. He's 10th on my board. As much as it's a guy I don't like, you can't deny the measures that you get with him, a 7'1", 7'6", wingspan. He's an athletic freak. He's pretty agile. And, I mean, Wiseman is all about the ceiling that you're buying here. He has a decent motor to him. You would be banking on him having a shot more than likely because, again, this is being able to hit corner threes per se because he's shown off a little bit of a mid-range. There is, like, a concern of Willie Cauley-Stein thing where it's like, all right, you're clearly best around the rim rolling to the basket, yet you're settling for jumpers. But, you know, Wiseman, I think, again, like these tiers I had, it was to me like I could justify taking one of these guys over another and say that Washington moved up to number 4. I think they could totally justify taking Wiseman over Vassell or the other guys that we've mentioned in this tier because of the legitimate extremely high ceiling that Wiseman has, even though I don't really buy it. And then the floor, like, he's going to be a rim protector at very least. And the athleticism that he has is going to help him out there. I think he could get exposed that he's on the perimeter, even though he does okay recovery there. But I think that the floor is not terrible for him, but also like the floor of just being below average, like starting center is just not great in this league. Like, I mean, I hear Hassan Whiteside a lot. And like, I guess he's a valuable player, but he's also replaceable. So I don't know, like at worst, I think he's going to be a player in the league. It's just, it comes down to the centers not being very valuable when you're talking about his floor, and the ceiling for him is just ridiculous. I don't buy it, but I think that it would make sense for a team to take a swing at it.
Yeah, I actually have James Wiseman next on my list as well, so that's perfect. I have him 9th on my board. And he also got for me, I talked about in the previous episode that I did ceiling grades, median grades, and floor grades for everybody. He has, for me, he has the highest ceiling in this draft class. Now, he also has the biggest gap between his ceiling grade and his median grade. So, like, I'm not expecting him to achieve this ceiling whatsoever. And it feels less attainable than the average player's or that any other player's ability to achieve their ceiling. It just seems further from likelihood. But I think, like, the frame is completely bonkers. The size is completely bonkers. 7'6" wingspan. I think he was the standing reach like 9'6" or 9'8", something crazy. And yeah, he's pretty traditional as far as what he's actually good at. He's like, in other words, he's not a good shooter. He probably shouldn't shoot that much. If he does, that's great, and that unlocks really high ceiling if he can, you know, just hit the occasional shot from the corner. But even without that, I think there's a high ceiling just as this monstrously large dude who is very coordinated and very defensively can be nightmarish to play against. Like, I don't think it's insane for him to be in like a defensive player of the year conversation if everything goes right for him. Could be like a truly elite rim protector. Obviously gonna give you rebounding at that size that could be borderline elite. Pretty good athlete for his insane size. Good athlete for his insane size. I don't know. I think like in terms of a more average outcome, there is concern about him even being a starter level guy, because if he doesn't make the right choices, if he becomes a poor decision maker, then you can't be a starting center in this league if your decision making isn't on point. And it's hard to know if it is, because you know he barely played in college. I think it was 3 games. He was the number one guy coming out of high school, so the potential is very, very, very high. I don't think it's realistic for him to fall out of the top 10, even though Draft Twitter would love to see that happen. I just think like you take the home run swing on him. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward, you know, he just does what centers do, and he could do it very, very well. But that's, yeah, I mean, I think that's valuable.
Yeah, you know, one point that PD mentioned on the, I guess not last episode before, was that, like, part of the reason he thinks he gets taken in the top of the draft, for, you know, multiple reasons, is that, like, you just don't get fired or that much of a hard time for picking a guy that looks like James Wiseman. Like, I think everybody sees the ceiling. And while there is a lot of skepticism and reasonable, I think that that's, I mean, like, just you don't get fired for it. Taking a guy that looks like James Wiseman and has those athletic skills. And then Marvin Bagley comes into my mind as I say that, but like, there's not a clear, like Luka sort of thing. You know what I mean?
No, totally. I totally agree with you. I think everyone's trying to find the Luka to Wiseman's Bagley in this draft, and it's not really there. Like, I guess you could like talk about Killian Hayes or even Lonzo Ball in that way, where like you just say creation is so much more important than center play. But just to point out, right, what he did do in those 3 games with Memphis, I mean, it is pretty ridiculous. This is absolutely why he will be picked probably in the top 3, quite frankly. Yeah. But I mean, in 23 minutes a game, he gave you 20 points, 11 boards, 3 blocks a game. So, like, yeah, the potential is insane.
Yeah. To me, like, I just – maybe I'm crazy. I don't think he goes – like, to me, like, he's going to Charlotte at 3. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe Golden State for some reason or whatever, whoever – someone trades up or LaMelo falls or Edwards falls and Charlotte takes that. But to me, like – that just makes so much sense. A team that needs a star, they have great role players and clearly needs a center. And yeah, I mean, Wiseman's like the swing to make there. And I don't hate the pick at 3.
Yeah. And I'll also just quick shout out to Tony Zapteris at the Kings Herald, who has a number 1 overall. I think that's bold. I think it's courageous. And I really, really respect it in a time where that's like really going against the grain, just to take the guy that was number 1 recruit out of high school, who has given you no tangible reason to think that he won't fulfill that quite yet. And basically like to take the side of how NBA franchises probably view him, which is like a no-brainer top 3, definitely no-brainer top 5 type of guy. So yeah, man, and like a legitimate, like if the Timberwolves didn't have Cat, like with legitimate conversation for number 1 overall. So yeah.
I'm curious, cool. Do you buy it? Like, would you bet on Wiseman making, I don't know, what's the way to word it? Like being a top 5 center in the league?
Yeah, I buy what it is, which is just a home run swing on a crazy high, like physical profile guy. So like, I don't think anyone is trying to sell him as a lock for that. Yeah. So I buy him for what he is, which is like a potential top 5 center in the NBA. I mean, maybe closer to top 10, but Yeah. No, I totally buy that.
Yeah, that's fair.
I can jump to my...
Yeah, that's my tier, I'll just say.
Perfect. Perfect. So I know you did two in a row, so I can go next tier. So that was the beginning of a new tier for me, Wiseman at 9. And the next guy I have in this tier, I think I have higher than consensus for sure, but not by a crazy amount. I have Aaron Nesmith here. And, and I get it that I get that people are lower on him. I get that all he really does is finish plays. But yeah, I mean, the dude shot over 50% from three. He's got a big body, big frame. I think it's underrated how, you know, I don't think he's a great athlete in terms of speed and leaping, but I think he's very strong, you know, probably about 6'6 with a 6'10 wingspan. That's nice. Real potential for 3D. I don't hate his defense at all. Some people don't like his defense. I think he is totally going to be an average defender and with legitimate chance to be a legit 3D, like a plus defender. Not great, but like a good defender. I think that's totally possible. So yeah, I mean, like I know it's not quite the traditional concept of a 3D guy, 'cause he's so much more 3 than D, but this is a 3D player, at a position that is scarce, and he is debatably the best shooter in the draft. And quite frankly, I just think that you don't turn your nose up at a completely ridiculous, sickeningly good high gravity knockdown off movement, off the dribble, off whatever 3-point shooter. You can shoot it in any format and knock that down.
Yeah. Okay. So I have fallen on Nesmith a lot the last couple days. And the difference we have is clearly the defense. I'm more of a, I think that he's probably a negative, and I could see him being an average defender. And again, like there are those tools. You mentioned the really positive wingspan that he's working with. I just didn't like what I saw. I think that, you know, his closeouts are pretty bad. He looks like he understands the scheme, which is more than you can say for like a Buddy Hield, where he just kind of looks lost out there. That's not quite the case for Nesmith here. So I have more faith than I do in Hield. But I don't know. I didn't like what I saw from him moving his feet. I was not a big fan of closing out and off the ball. I don't know. I guess there was a little bit of playmaking there that was interesting to me, but that's definitely where we have our difference. And while he does have size to him, and that's probably the main difference in this upcoming question I have, but it's just like, if he's just a shooter, which is kind of where I'm at with him, why, like, if that's the only thing he does, there's a lot of guys in the league that are like that. And, like, it's valuable, but who says that, like, Desmond Bane can't be that later in the draft, or, you know, a couple other guys? I think that, I don't know, like, I've started to really question, like, is this a lottery talent if the only thing he really can do is shoot? And albeit at probably an elite level, more than probably, I just don't, I don't know. Like, and he has some variety to it, obviously, like aside from being off the dribble, which again, like I struggle to see what he does aside from shooting. I don't like when he puts the ball on the floor. I don't like his shooting off the dribble. I am lower on his defense than you are. So to me, it's just like, I don't know it where his one thing he does is shooting. I've just really started to question if that's a lottery guy for me recently.
You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may still be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees with their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download DoorDash in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Yeah, so the difference definitely is on defense for us. I think that in this draft, that is a lottery guy. Like, a guy that, if you can say that, so let's just say, I mean, do you think that he is going to be significantly better or worse than Buddy Hield?
As a player overall?
Yeah, as a player overall, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's worse. Like, I think that, you know, Buddy's off the dribble. Buddy can create a shot for himself pretty well. And I just don't think Naismith can do that at all.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be significantly worse than Buddy Hield. I think he's kind of right in that general area. I think I may be lower on Hield than you in general anyway. But so, yeah, Buddy can create his own shot a little bit. I don't really want him to. That much. I mean, it's fine, you know, if he's, it's kind of like ISO healed, right? Where, like, that's kind of what he can do. He doesn't do it amazingly well. He does it functionally, and Naismith can't do that. Naismith is like finishing plays. He is, you got to set him up. But I also think that Naismith has a chance to be a much better defender. So I think healed is a true, like, flaming negative on that side, you know. I think, like, he's a true, like, tank. I mean, you can hide him, if, you know, if you have one bad defender on the floor, you should be able to hide that. But I don't think that's what Naismith is going to be for you. I think that he can be a competent defender that you don't need to hide. I like his size and his frame better than Hield's. So I think, like, he's roughly in that range for me. The part that I'm really concerned with Naismith is that I think he's a truly terrible passer. Like, I think he is, like, a not almost like a black hole, you know, type of passer.
That's a Buddy Hield comp to me.
But, right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's like, I think that he's on that level. And yeah, like, I guess Hield does have more on ball equity, but I, as a Kings fan, I've never loved Buddy Hield having the ball in his hands and not shooting anyway. Like, the only time I love what I'm seeing from Buddy Hield is when he's taking shots and finishing plays. So I think Naismith can approximate that. I agree that he's not coming out the pocket, coming out the box, Buddy Hield, because then he would be probably like borderline top five in a very weak draft class. But I don't think he's like a huge step down from what Hield could give you. So I just think that compared to guys like, I mean, you'll notice I have not put Okoro or Abdia on my board here. I would rather take a guy that is absolutely bankable, a fantastic shooter, elite level shooter, than a guy that is just going to struggle with that their entire career, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from here. Yeah, I mean, while I have him lower on this big board, I do think that, you know, say a team like the Pelicans or the Blazers could really, I mean, I still wouldn't be surprised to see him go in the lottery, and I wouldn't hate it either. Yeah, I think just our difference comes on the defensive end there, and yeah, and the difference on the Buddy comp is just, I think that Buddy does a good job creating space for himself, and again, it is also shooting, but yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of a different conversation. Yeah, I see.
Well, sorry. I was on that point, like, he does. Like, I agree with you, he does. But, like, how much do I want that anyway? I don't know. Like, I mean, if so, there's this weird thing where, like, if you're bad at something, I mean, all right, if you aren't good at something and you're bad at the same, so like say you're not great at creating a shot for yourself, is that much better than just being terrible at it if we just don't put the ball in your hands anyway?
Yeah.
Like I don't really want that. If you're not going to be good at it, I don't really care if you're terrible. It's just not have you do it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I see where you're coming from. And he's a guy that's like going to have a role in this league. And the size and that wingspan is like what makes me, you know, feel a little better about the defense than I do. And like I said, I think he's smart. I just don't think he moves well on that end. And yeah, a lot of it, I see where you're coming from. He's going to be a role player in this league. I just don't know, like in a draft where like, or in the draft, I think you're just kind of like betting on some guys, and it's probably me just betting on upside a little more. Neesmith is in this next tier I have, and this next tier is just clear, like insane upside bets. And then the really safe ones that you know what you're getting, and Neesmith is one of the latter.
Yeah, I think a good example of decent value or like a decent comp for him in recent drafts, like in this range. So I have him 10th here. Like Cam Johnson was a bit of a surprise at 11, but in a much better draft last season. And I don't know that he like was expected to do that much more than just be an absolute insane knockdown shooter and play decent defense. And I think that's kind of like what you're getting from him, and people are happy with it.
Yeah. I think that he could, it would be not surprising to see him go in the lottery here. And, you know, shooting is probably I was going to say the most valuable, but maybe not. It's one of the most valuable skills in the NBA, especially in the modern NBA. So I see where you're coming from there. And so that was the start of a tier along with Wiseman for you, right?
That's correct. And I would have, let's see here. I have only one other player in that. I'm happy to go again if you like.
And this is, go ahead. And this is 11 for you?
This is 11 for me.
All right, what do you got?
I think it's another guy that you won't see coming here and might not even be in your 15. It is Tyrese Maxey.
Okay.
He's a guy that I think that you like this style of player. I don't know if you've backed that with your rankings, but I mean, just a ruthless defender. An insanely good finisher, although he was not a good shooter this past season. Generally speaking, the consensus on him is that the shooting will be better. There are high school numbers and video that can back that up to a degree. And it wasn't like tragic, right? He's not like a non-functional shooter. And plus, you know, like Kentucky, no one ever shoots well anyway for whatever reason. But good athlete, little small, a little bit of a tweener type of guard. But I just see the Marcus Smart in him. I see the dog in him. I see the winner's mentality in him. I think generally speaking, like he doesn't have a real weakness for his position or his size. So I like him here.
I really like Maxey. I think whatever team selects him in the late lottery is probably where I'd guess he goes, is going to be really happy with him. And, you know, maybe he even makes it out of that and gets into late teens sort of thing. I agree with you. I mean, this is definitely the type of player that I really like. And while 3-point percentage has some concerns, I mean, 83% from the free throw line is promising. Like you said, there's this weird situation of like Kentucky guys just not shooting it well. Like you look at Devin Booker, and I forget the more recent example. But yeah, that's just a weird situation for some reason. And I've come around.
SGA would be one.
Right. And then, yeah, I've also come around to think that he is kind of a combo guard in the point that, like, I think he could guard twos. He's pretty strong. And obviously, like, there's some big twos in the league that he's going to have some issues with. But I think that having the ability to guard both of the guard spots is going to do well for him. He's great on ball and off ball defensively. He has a ridiculous energy to him. And yeah, like you said, he's a good finisher, and I buy the shot. I think Maxey's going to end up being one of the
I don't know if steals of the draft is right, but whatever team selects him, I think is going to be really happy with him. And it's one of these high floor guys that I do have in my next tier here and in my top 15.
Yeah, I mean, he has kind of fallen. I think like the intel from the pros have suggested he could fall like even out of the top 20. But no, I'll never worry about him in a defense, like defensively in a lineup. Like you mentioned, I think, you know, his wingspan's not bad. You know, it's not amazing for two, but he's also really strong, like super strong. And yeah, I
and
just
he takes a challenge.
Yeah. He's every like, and I don't want to invest too much in the whole like IQ slash mentality stuff, but everything I've ever heard from him is super positive on that front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like PD pointed out last episode that, you know, he's a guy that is getting extremely hyped up for his teammates' plays even more so than himself. What you don't see with high level prospects often, and just little things like that, you know, is like a fan base is going to fall in love with Tyrese Maxey for sure.
For sure. Let's get to your number 11. So that's the end of the tier for me. Okay. Wiseman, Nesmith, and Maxey.
Okay. I know we only did 15, but this next tier, I have about 11 to 17. And yeah, we'll only go to 15 here because I did cut it there, but this is just like, this tier is so close to me. And again, it's like, these are major home run swing guys and then the safer picks. And I kind of tended to put these home run swings higher. And the first one I put Patrick Williams here at number 11, a guy that I think you and I have come around to a little bit recently. He has an insane build to him, being the second youngest player in this draft behind Poku. I think that, you know, he's flashed some off the dribble shooting that is extremely interesting. There's, you know, obviously defensive versatility that you're getting from him with, again, his just ridiculous build that you're working with, 6'8 and a 6'11 wingspan. I'm buying the shooting with, you know, 32% from three. It is all right, but the 83% from the free throw line is encouraging. And yeah, I mean, the size he has and the strength he has, I think that he's going to be a really versatile defender that, again, one of these guys that I think is going to be able to switch a lot. He does have, you know, a lot of these like raw mistakes where you're getting travels because he's dragging the pivot foot, almost like reminds me of a like early, say like Jaylen Brown, Brandon Ingram sort of situation. Obviously not the level of those guys, but it's just rookie mistakes where you're just extremely raw, extremely athletic, where I think that he'll work those out. And yeah, I mean, positionally extremely valuable, the size he has, and I buy a lot of what he's bringing. I think that it would be extremely wise for, you know, San Antonio to take a swing at Williams at 11, or we've mentioned Sacramento at 12. I really like the potential upside of Williams here.
The position is so valuable. The size is so valuable. The how modern he is defensively and well-rounded offensively too. Like, he could shoot. He could protect the rim. The length, the strength, it's all there for him. He's the youngest American in the draft. So, like, talking about upside, it's massive. I actually have him in my top five in terms of ceiling, so that tells you a lot of how high I am on this guy. I will be talking about him today in my top 15, but I also have him like just barely, he's barely in the conversation. I also have him I also have his floor the lowest of anyone in this top 15. I think like the rawness that you spoke to, that's, you know, the 18-year-old just turned 18. That stuff cuts both ways. He does not, you know, I mean, he came off the bench as a freshman. He did not play well against good competition. Like, his worst games were against the best teams that he faced. You know, I think there's a chance there's a bit of a mirage here where the size and the position and the modern archetype is – a little bit of a mirage, and that ends up being his best trait. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was gonna say there's no elite skill.
There is no elite skill. He's very, very well rounded, and this is the type of player where I said that you can't bake into your rankings an unexpected progression, like you uncover a skill that wasn't there before. But if anyone's going to do that, I think it would be him, just because of the age, right? So, like, the age and the ability for guys in his position to come around in those types of areas, and how he'll probably be asked to do that and work on those things, and like that rawness, the turnovers, the weird travels and stepping out of bounds and stuff, like that stuff, we're hoping it just disappears, but it also might not. So I've got him like very high ceiling, very low floor guy, and I'm satisfied whenever I see him locked 12 to Sacramento. But I'm also a little bit worried too. Like, I think he legit does have bust potential if he goes in the lottery.
Yeah, I think he does. And if you're okay with it, I'd like to go this next guy, because I think it's a very similar thing where it's just a complete boomer bust.
Yeah, go for it.
I have Poku sitting at 12 here, which is a lot higher.
You would.
Than I had PD previously.
PD has poisoned your mind.
There's a major Poku hive going on right
that's
now.
That's what the P stands for in PD.
Yeah.
Poison.
Okay. So, insane shooting potential from this guy. Off the dribble for a 7-footer is absolutely ridiculous. The shot versatility that has doing it off the catch, like I said, off the dribble. He has okay finishing to him. Obviously, the big asterisk on this is always going to be his weight, which is just ridiculous. But I mean, he's
ridiculous in a bad way, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Of course.
What's he listed at?
201 is what I'm seeing. I have the Ringer draft board up here, and that's what I'm going off of. But yeah, that's what I've seen in a couple of places. Like, literally, I think that I was looking at, like, yeah, Cole Anthony is 190. And Poku's 201, and that's a 7-footer compared to a 6'3 guy. Like, Poku's extremely skinny. You would have to think he puts on a little bit of weight, and maybe I'm wrong for thinking that, but yeah, like, it's just such a unicorn. Like, I actually think that maybe not the highest upside in this draft, but like, it's really up there. And, you know, you're kind of betting on like a very high percentile outcome for him, but the feel that he has that you see in his passing is pretty ridiculous. And I wasn't a fan of the biggest flashiness, but like pointing out to me that for all that he does, like, he doesn't turn it over that much. And the reads that he makes where he's just, because he has this length to him, he's just completely able to make skip passes where there's one that stood out to me in the PD clip where, you know, the clear pass was going to the top of the key from the block that guy would swing it to the corner. And with Poku's ridiculous length, he can just skip one of those passes and go straight to the corner. He's extremely creative. Like there's a lot that could go wrong with him, but I think that I think that the shooting is going to be there. And I think that there's okay weak side rim protection that you're getting from him, because he also has good instincts and just an understanding of the game that shows on that end as well. So like there's a lot that could go wrong with him. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think that guards getting into his airspace while he's dribbling could be concerning, but you would like to think that he'd be able to take advantage of that with this ridiculous length he has, and he also does have a decent handle to him, like a actually good handle. It was interesting going through a lot of these clips. I was like, you know, this kind of reminds me of Bogdanović in a way. Like, he's a guard. It's super weird, but like, this guy is going to have the ball in his hands. Like, it's insane to have a 7-foot guy initiating a pick and roll. And I think that that's like what Poku's ceiling is. And this is 100% a massive home run swing. But I think that what that player could be is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I am not with you.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I'm just not with you, man. I think that draft Twitter has gone insane in the quarantine and just taking guys that they should not have considered and like put them like number one overall on our board. And like, we're legit seeing that with some draft guys. I think, did Petey have him number one overall?
He did not. He had a LaMelo, Edwards, and Hayes as his top three. It might have not been in that order. And then after that, he was just like, yeah, I think there's a massive group of guys where teams can justify going in a bunch of different directions.
Okay. Someone that is highly regarded in draft Twitter. I think it's Twitter.
Cosmos, if I'm saying that right.
Maybe. Yeah. That's possible. I think like a lot of these guys are flirting with him like in the top tier, in tier one. So, I mean, and he's a guy that just like, so let's just discuss a few things here. Number one, he played exactly 1 minute in the EuroLeague. So like, just, I know we're not calling him the next Luka, but just compare that to the MVP of the EuroLeague, right? So like, it's a huge difference there. A lot of this is grappling with the competition he plays against. A lot of the clips that we're seeing of him from draft Twitter, and I'm sure a lot of the stuff that you watched, a lot of the stuff that I watched, is like legit against like under 18, like, you know, small countries, like,
yep,
countries that are not known for generating a lot of basketball talent, don't have a super high amount of resources dedicated to doing that. Like, if he looks really good against the UK under 18 team or the Latvia under 18 team, like, I'm not really gonna be like, okay, that's a lottery pick. It's tough. Like, one point of comparison, Giannis came out of the same exact league that he's in, Heba A2, I believe, or that could just be not pronounced as one word. It could just be all initials, HEBA A2. And Giannis, like, I believe the exact number was like 67% on field goal attempts, and it was 70% on two pointers. And Poku is like shooting 40%, on field goals, and just barely higher than that, like 42% on his 2-point shots. Like, even against that competition, it's fascinating. But it's flashes. Generally speaking, it's not like he's even killing it at that level. It's flashes at that level, where Giannis was killing it at that level and got drafted later than we're discussing him right now in a better draft. Well, that draft wasn't amazing, but
I think it's actually the draft that's super comparable to this one.
That's probably fair. That's probably fair. But so he went 13, I believe, or Giannis went 13. And so, yeah, I feel like if that's a one-to-one comparison of league to league and draft to draft, I know he should have gone higher, but he's not, his production has not been nearly as good. And also Giannis had this like insane development of his body, and Poku's going to need that too. But he's going to even need like a more insane development of his body. Like, I am terrified of that. I'm terrified of a 7-footer that is so small, so slight, that he's just going to get bodied by NBA level athletes for years and years.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. I do worry about the defense. I am kind of like buying into the length of him a little bit. And again, I think that he has a good understanding of the game. A lot of it being, you know, good rotations, which obviously he's going to have to be extremely quicker with at the NBA level. And to defend like the field goal percentage a little bit, I think a lot of it is because he's taking stuff off the dribble, and like he's doing these pull-up threes and like step backs, and he's legitimately creating for himself from range. And I think that that's where I see a lot of the potential with him here, where almost in a Porzingis-esque way, where it's like, how is anybody going to block this shot? And, you know, it's he's a different player than Porzingis for sure. But I just think that that's a little bit of what you're seeing there. And again, the playmaking is what really gets me. Like, if this guy gets a board and is able to take it in transition himself, he's a quick decision maker. There's just something about almost in like a LaMelo way where it's like, how did he even come up with this idea to go for this? And it works out. And maybe I'm wrong, and that just does that just against NBA level IQ guys and awareness, athleticism, reaction time, and all that, it doesn't work. But some of them, I just don't even think NBA guys would see it coming. And yeah, I think the creativity, and just maybe I'm just enamored by like the complete uniqueness of this prospect. But yeah, again, this is like a super upside swing. And I think a team that should focus on the future and getting young. Again, we mentioned Patrick Williams, like the youngest American in the draft. Poku is the youngest player in the draft. Like, I think some team should take a swing on him, you know, late in the lottery or like late teens, that either, you know, has a core that they're just waiting for in the future and can wait out a potential talent like this. Like I've mentioned New Orleans, or, you know, I've really come around to Sacramento needs to focus on the 2021 draft and get young around Fox. And I think that's kind of why I've maybe gotten into the Poku hive a little bit here.
Sundays are coming back in the NFL. With NFLSundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
I guess PD just convinced you, because I know we were all, you and me and I mean even Brian and Nate, like we were all pretty much in the same spot, like around 20th for him.
We're gonna have to check with Bryant, but I think he might have come around too.
I don't know about that. It's just tough, man, because so here's, I was trying to look at the guys, thinking about the guys on your list and where you've put them compared to Poku, and something just sits wrong with me in terms of I think that you are making a mistake by putting a guy who no one had heard of, that has not played against high-level competition, that just by looking at him, you know there's going to be really serious problems that he has to overcome, over Cole Anthony, who is a number two, was like, you know, top two, like expected to be a number two pick, number one pick at times, like projected in the beginning of this year. Like, I think if you look at Vicini's first mock draft, like Cole Anthony, number one, out of high school, like just a stud. And yeah, like he didn't have a good year on a very bad team, but he is so built and so prepared for the challenges of American basketball at this level. He's played against all these guys for so long. I mean, to take a guy that it is such a mystery, that has such obvious deficiencies that you've never seen, and to think like, I think that he's a better prospect than the guy that we all thought was a super elite prospect a few months ago. It's like, I can't get there, man.
Yeah, I see where you're coming. And I have Cole Anthony right after. I have Cole sitting at 13. And again, like this tier, it's really going to depend team to team. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, I totally see where you're coming from, but it's like the talent, it's the skill of Poku. And like, I get he's doing it against lower level guys, but I just think that the playmaking that he does show off, and the step backs, the creation for himself at this ridiculous length, the touch that he has from range. Yeah, I've been talked into it, man. And like I said, I have Cole right after here, and I have those three guys as like my crazy upside home run swings that I think could just also flop. And you kind of talked me into like maybe Cole doesn't flop as much as these other two. And that's probably where the difference is if I do this over, when I'm sure we will eventually. But I don't have him that far. I just think that like I think that ceiling of Poku is a good bit higher than Anthony's.
Man, I can't. Yeah. I mean, you acknowledge that like the floor is zero on Poku, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to recover from this one, obviously. I respect it as like a home run swing, but you've got him in territory where the Kings would be picking him. Like he could be BPA. I think, what do you think about the concept of like things swinging towards European favor? Like that Luka has worked out, and he's worked out so well that everyone's like, okay, well, Denny Avdija, like people have him like top two. People right. have Poku number one. Like
Killian.
People have Killian number one, like a lot of people do. So do you think there's any chance that has gone a little too far here and it might come back towards the middle?
Maybe, but like I think that you kind of see that for a little while. Like you think of Hazonia or Dragan Bender. I think that these guys are just kind of around. Maybe it's more so now, but there's also a lot of really good European guys in the league. Like look at Jokic, Nurkic, both the Bogdanovic, Dragic, everything that ends with itch. there's a lot of really good European guys in the league. So maybe Giannis. It's gone a little too far. Yeah, but there is like legitimately a lot of really good European guys in the league too.
No, I'm not questioning that. I'm saying in terms of how we're valuing them right now in the draft, because like Jokic, you mentioned like went in the 40s, like, you know, Giannis yeah. went after where you've got Poku ranked right now. Like, I just wonder if the success of those guys is not hyping these guys up. And Denny has way more polish than Poku. So I just – it like we're really going off of like mixtapes on Poku for the most part. And I just don't know, man. I can't get there with you.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I don't blame you. It's extremely raw, and a lot of it has to do with just being a super young age. So, yeah, I've bought the skill level that's just ridiculous and so unique, being a guard set of abilities at 7 feet.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say on him is that it's great if you've got guard abilities at 7 feet. You also have to have big man abilities, because like that's actually going to matter. I'm sorry, unless the Denver Nuggets get you, you're not like they're not starting 5 7-footers. So yeah, we'll move on. I got to listen to that PD breakdown and read his super long breakdown as well on him and get into all that. But I'm going to always, like I said from the very beginning of this podcast in part one, I'm always going to be playing it a little bit safer than most. And so I've definitely do not have Poku in my top 15, although I will say he's not far outside of it.
Okay. And then I also added myself, I have Cole at 13 there. And I know, I think I just listed off three in a row actually before you got one in, but Williams, Poku, Cole are my three just big upside swings in this next tier. And I think I said I have 17, but yeah, no, this is probably a really big tier. There's probably like 20 guys. Or I'm sorry, down to 20 in this tier. It's probably like 9 guys when I'm thinking, like, this is a big tier you're working with here. And it's really going to depend, like, you know, Portland's going to take more of a safe guy. It's just really going to depend on the team here.
All right, so I got only one guy left that you have not talked about on my top 15, and I'm going to get to him right now. He's number 12. And it's going to be a very interesting comparison to Poku, who is like the ultimate home run swing. This is the ultimate safe pick. I have Sadiq Bey number 12. And like I said, I'm just favoring a floor more than most people are. A lot of people just listing their 15 most upside players in their top 15. I'm definitely valuing floor. Sadiq Bey, I think I was lower on you for a long time, worried about his athleticism, but at the same time, like, guys who can get it done, get it done. And although I don't think he's a good athlete, he guarded 1 through 5 this season. So, like, how bad is he really? He's a knockdown shooter. He plays a very valuable position. 6'8" height, 6'10" wingspan, 216 might be a little bit even heavier than that, depending on when that listing came out. Like, I mean, really an excellent shooter. I mean, really an excellent switchable positive defender. Older, but also from like a program in Villanova from Coach Jay Wright that produces solid hits. Like, I don't think he's going to be a star. We know he's not going to be a star. Lowest ceiling of anyone in my top 15 for sure. But like, really, I think up there with the highest floors as well. You know, his IQ can overcome his athleticism issues. I think that's possible. And ultimately, like, it's not hard for me to, even though he's not going to be a star, not hard for me to see him being like a starter on a very good team, even if he's like the fifth best starter on that team.
For sure. I mentioned Portland. Like, to me, like, this is Portland. I would struggle to see Sadiq Bey getting past Portland. I think it could happen. But yeah, like, a guy that, you know, again, wing defense is really valuable in the league. I think that he's not going to be a guy that's stopping these elite guys because of that athleticism. And that's where it's going to hurt him, where, you know, as much as we like the switchability, obviously he's not staying in front of Dame or even in front of, say, PG with his first step or something like that. And, you know, maybe he can on some possessions, but a majority of the time, I think that's where it hurts him. But again, yeah, this is a legitimate 3-and-D guy, because there is something you're getting on the offensive end. And while the shot is like for sure going to translate, I think there's also other intriguing parts of his offense, a little bit of playmaking, which I don't think you ask him to do, but, you know, just attacking a closeout and making decisions from there, I think he can do at an okay level. And like you said, I mean, Villanova produces a lot of guys that are able to come in and be impact players pretty quickly. Sam Vecenie had a really good interview with Sadiq Bey that he posted on his podcast, which has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts. By the way, and, you know, Bey seems very open to accepting whatever role is given to him. He credited Villanova for placing players in a lot of various roles, and that's part of the reason that he believes guys are able to come in and have success. And yeah, I feel very good about Bey coming in and being an impact player pretty quickly and for a long time in this league. Although the floor is low, he does scrape my 15 here.
Yeah, that's no surprise to me that he's in your 15. I would have been surprised if he wasn't, though it would have been surprising if he was much higher than this for either of us. So I will just move on. I think we're getting close to the end of the episode because we've discussed a lot of these guys. I think you might have one guy we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
My final three are guys we talked about. So I'll run through my next two, so I think we can do them together. My 13 and 14 are guys that we've talked about in length. And this is where I have slotted Okoro and Avdija, 13, 14, in that order. I know it's really low. I know it's probably lower than anyone else that I've ever seen or ever heard. Like, there's a few out there that I've seen, particularly with Denny just not buying it. But yeah, like, just to recap, my thoughts from the first part of this episode, or for part one of this episode, I like a lot of kind of the well-roundedness, but I see legitimate problems with their game. And if they don't solve them, like, everyone above them on my list has a more bankable skill, in my opinion. So well-roundedness, well, has less holes in their game. It's debatable. I would say either or, right? Like, so you look at a guy like Nesmith has like a much more obvious best skill than either Okoro or Denny. And then you look at guys like, I would say that. I would say like there's a more bankable path to why they're valuable than the rest of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, for Okoro specifically, and Okoro has kind of been my crush for a while now, I get what you're saying. I just kind of think that, and again, go back to part one, we talked about these guys a lot. I think that Okoro has a lot of ways on offense that he is impactful. And obviously, a low usage guy on offense, the shot is the most valuable thing. And that does need to come around for him to be a positive on the offensive end, probably, at least like on a somewhat respectable level, right? But again, like the athleticism, the playmaking that he's getting, I think he could be a role man. Both of these guys, when you do get them in transition, are going to be valuable that way. We've gone over why we have our differences here. I am surprised exactly how low you have them. Would you understand, you know, a team taking these guys top 10 at the same time?
Even higher? For sure. And I not only do I understand it, I accept that I am probably wrong. I have to take my stand here. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I will learn from that and I'll improve my process going forward. But I just think the likelihood that Okoro is MKG is just so much higher than the likelihood that he's Andre Iguodala.
Yeah. I respect it. And those guys are, 12 and 13 for you?
13, 14. So they're both in my lottery still, but
okay. And then 15 for you is what?
Patrick Williams. So this is a guy that we just talked about, so I won't get into him too much again, but the ceiling gets him into my top 15 and the floor keeps him at the bottom of my top 15.
Okay. Yeah. I mentioned 11 Williams, 12 Poku, 13 Cole Anthony, 14 here. I have slotted Tyrese Maxey, a guy that we mentioned earlier in this episode. I think we both really like. I think whatever fan base ends up with him is going to absolutely be in love with him. He's going to do a lot of the intangibles on the defensive end, an extreme hustle guy, someone that just fits my type of player. And I wouldn't be surprised if I dived into him even more if I ended up moving him up a bit in this. And then 15, yes, I have Sadiq Bey sitting here that we just talked about in good depth. And the only guy that you do not have in your 15 that I do is Poku. And the only guy that you have I don't is Nesmith, I think, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. And we have them kind of in the same-ish spot. I wonder, if we're trying to find, like, bets on, I think, like, we did Cole Anthony versus Okoro. We could also do, like, Nesmith versus Poku.
Oh, God.
And we'll see, man. I mean,
oh shit.
We'll probably split those, and one of us will be right on one and wrong on the other.
Yeah, I mean, they're just so different players there. Yeah, and again, like I probably, you know, just to throw other names that I probably have in this same tier that we won't get into right now, but I have like Kira Lewis, Precious, Nesmith, RJ Hampton, Jalen Smith. Again, where it's just kind of like, what do you trust your team to develop, and what do you need to develop if you're willing to take a swing on a Williams, Poku, Anthony, Precious, Hampton, or is there a hole that you want to fill with one of the safe guys with Maxey, Bay, Jalen Smith, or say like a Kyra Lewis, who I think is a good middle ground of both, and maybe I end up moving him up or something like that. Again, like that's a pretty big tier for me. And again, like I think you could justify any of those guys really going over the other.
Yeah, I have all those guys you mentioned, I think are in my next like eight dudes or so. So in my next two tiers. So they're, and I have tighter tiers than you. So
yeah,
totally understandable to have. I think Hampton is probably the one I'm lowest on, but yeah.
Yeah, he's interesting. He's interesting for sure. But at some point, I'm sure we'll expand this and update it. Maybe we end with going one final run through. I'll do my 15 here. I have LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Killian Hayes, Devin Vassell, Onyeka Okongwu as top five. Then I have Isaac Okoro,
Tyrese Halliburton, Denny Avdija, Obi Toppin, James Wiseman makes 10. Patrick Williams, Pokusevski, Cole Anthony, Tyrese Maxey, and Sadiq Bey makes 15 for me.
I just my impression of that, I think that's very, very close to consensus.
It's not far off. Yeah, it's really not.
Who do you think is the player that you were like furthest from consensus on in the top 15?
That's interesting. It's not in the top 15, and it's because like I talk myself out of moving this guy up all the time, but like it does seem to be Precious, because like I almost like I said, I have him in this tier. Like I think I could actually talk myself into putting him at 11. And I think that would be crazy compared to most. It's probably Yeah, you make a good point. I'm pretty close on all of these. Maybe Obi. Like, I really feel bad about Obi's defense.
You had him
9.
8, yeah.
Which isn't that far off.
Yeah, not that far off. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I envy how close to consensus you are. I talked about my conservative nature and wanting just to play things safe. Like, part of me wanted to not reveal this list of like crazy takes that I have. But yeah, I that's my list, man. That's my 15. I'm sticking with it. Anthony Edwards 1, Vassell 2, Ball 3, Toppin 4, Killian Hayes 5, Onyeka Okongwu 6, Halliburton 7, Cole Anthony 8, Wiseman 9, Nesmith 10, Maxey 11, Bay 12, Okoro 13, 14 is Avdija, Patrick Williams at 15th.
All right. Well, this was fun, man. We actually were not all too far off on guys, probably aside from like Denny and Okoro. You know, for the most part, we were somewhat close here on a lot of them.
Yeah, somewhat close. I think we got some arguments on Poku, got some arguments on Cole Anthony, Obi Toppin, and then definitely Okoro and Avdija. I also just tracked where we, like, if we average out our ranks, I actually have our top 10 as a consensus here, if you want to hear that.
Yeah, what do you got?
Anthony Edwards 1, LaMelo Ball 2, Devin Vassell 3, Killian Hayes 4, Onyeka Okongwu 5, Obi Toppin 6, Tyrese Halliburton 7, and then tied for 8th is Okoro and Wiseman, and Denny Avdija 10th.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely don't mind it. I think I noticed I definitely have a defensive preference, which I already knew going into this, and I would say I think that you leaned towards the higher floor guys a little bit. Correct me if I'm wrong there, understandably, in this draft. But yeah, I mean, we're going to keep doing content on this, I'm sure, and so are the guys at the King's Herald. So definitely be sure to check out the site there and subscribe to their Patreon to support independent Kings coverage, and subscribe to this podcast if you enjoyed what you heard. Leave a 5-star review, and you'll hear from us again in the next couple of days here.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball and basketball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and 7-time NBA champion, we'll go with 6-time NBA champion, Robert Horry. See what they had to say and what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.